Welcome to Mommy Heal Thyself. We feature guests who provide you with the tools, resources, and strategies you need to say no to a life of pain and suffering from all forms of preventable disease, toxic drugs, and unnecessary surgeries. We hope to inspire you to boldly reclaim your ability to heal and to serve the ones you love.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Mommy Heal Thyself. Today, I'm here with a phenomenal artist. He is George Miller, an illustrator, public speaker based out of Northeast Florida. So he's right near me. I'm just so thrilled about this. For over 20 years in educational institutions, private and public offices, business and communities all over the world have benefited from George's multicultural and child advocacy network and messages. George's art inspires us to learn in cross-cultural and multi-ethnic environments. Students and parents, educators and professionals, business owners and government leaders have praised George for his work that clearly reflects a love for children, his respect for those who teach and care for our kids, his passion to bring awareness to the problems of illiteracy. As an invited speaker at conferences and schools, George's lively presentations focus on both the benefits of the creative process and our individual ability to self-determine a lifetime of successful living. Ah, George, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Michelle. I'm happy to be here.
You know, one of the main reasons why I reached out to you is because I had gotten an email that featured your artwork as part of a film that was with Denzel Washington, and it was in the background. I can't remember what film was now. And it was It Takes a Village. And I was like, oh my God, that is so super awesome. And it's right behind you right now, actually, that beautiful picture of all of these hands lifting up the baby. And so I would love for you to talk to us a little bit about that piece in particular, when you were inspired to create it, and what was the inspiration?
Thank you. Yep. I created It Takes an Entire Village to Raise a Child in 1993. And I think the inspiration more than anything at the time, I had moved to Los Angeles. I was living in Los Angeles. And every February, they would put on a huge art show at the Baldwin Hills Mall called the Artist Salute to Black History Month. And it featured all the prominent African-American artists from around the country. So Charles Bibbs, Albert Fennell, Kenny Gatewood, all kinds of great artists would come to this, gather in this mall, set up their art. And for 3 or 4 days, they'd put on this tremendous show of Black art. And so each year they would select one artist to be in center court. And the way they would select that artist to be in center court, that's where everyone wanted to be. If you could get to center court, you were somebody at the Artist Salute to Black History Month, curated by Barbara Wesson. So I wanted to be so badly into center court. I wanted that spot. I was a new artist on the scene, and not very many people knew who I was. And in all fairness, I was just really getting started compared to some of those artists who had been around for decades. But when that opportunity came up, I wanted to be in center court. And so I needed to create a piece of artwork that was going to grab the attention of everyone, that was really going to be a strong piece. And maybe that would get me into center court. I created, at the time, I was into African proverbs. So everyone knows that It Takes an Entire Village to Raise a Child is an African proverb. It's been around for a thousand years. Some people tend to think Miss Clinton came up with that when she came out with her book, but it had been around long before Miss Clinton. And And so I had been into African proverbs, sticks and bundles are not easily broken. The house of the heart is never full. It takes entire village to raise a child. And it was my thought that I would illustrate this piece and everybody would love it. And I'd get to be the center court artist at the Baldwin Hills Mall. That was my goal. It didn't quite happen like that, but that's okay. I created the piece. I entered it in. I actually got second place to another artist who was very good artist and had been around a lot longer than me. At the time, I was super disappointed, but I understood. I understood, you know. So I at least had an opportunity to create a beautiful piece of artwork. Now, the funny thing is, whoever's piece of artwork was chosen for that particular thing, they had to give up the rights to it. So the rights to it belonged to the artist Salute to Black History Month. So in that respect, in hindsight, I was happy that I had not won and did not have to give up my rights to that piece of artwork, which later got into the movie The Preacher's Wife with Denzel and Whitney Houston and all these other great actresses and actors. So it was just an amazing time in my life. At the time, I was working another job. I was not a full-time artist. I had been working at the post office. I quit the post office to become a full-time artist. And I always looked at that like that was God's gift to me. That was his way of encouraging me and telling me that, George, you're on the right path. And this is what he wanted to come out into the world. He just used it to come out through me, and that it was my gift from God for having the courage to step out from my job on my faith and become a full-time artist. So that's kind of how it came about. And it's funny because even to this day, I created the artwork in 1993. The movie came out in 1996. I think Miss Clinton wrote her book in 95. But even to this day, with all of the artwork that I've created, that is still the best-selling piece of artwork that I have. I am so thankful to God that he used me to bring that out into the world. So,
you know,
it's a great feeling.
I love the fact that you are so humble and so honoring of the reality that God uses us to deliver messages. And that spirit that flows through you is so genuine. I mean, like I said, you guys, we were supposed to record this particular episode weeks ago, but something was acting funky with the audio. And I was like, darn, darn, darn. But even in that short connection that we had, I could just sense the genuine love in you and the genuine appreciation and concern for our children. Because when I look at that particular piece, you know, oh, I'm getting goosebumps right now. But I just, and I think about what's happening with our children right now. And it is so critical, this message, for us to really yell it from the mountaintops, from the rooftops, that it takes a village. You know, the reason why we have this particular podcast, Mommy Heal Thyself, is because I want to share with women in particular the important message that you cannot, you should not, you were never designed to try to do this by yourself. And when we look at that picture, that to me is the message of not only allowing spirit to guide you, but allowing that spirit that comes through the community to lift up that child, you know, oh, so beautiful. Now let's unpack some of this, because I'm telling you, that must have been a tough decision to leave the post office, because I am sure that you had all kinds of family members and friends telling you, what? You must be insane. Have you not heard about the starving artists and you're giving up a good job with the post office where you can retire and go home and be set for life? So what enabled you to be able to make that choice?
That's funny. At the time I was 33 years old, and when I told my father, who had in fact retired from the post office itself, you'd have thought I was a 15-year-old kid who had just wrecked a car. He hit the ceiling. What in the H is wrong with you, boy? You don't quit your job to draw pictures. He hit the ceiling. And in fact, exactly like you just read, almost every single person I knew said exactly the same thing. Almost every, I think I had one friend that encouraged me to go ahead and move forward and that I could do those things. And that's why I really feel like when Village came, that was my confirmation. That was God saying, it's okay. You don't have to listen to everybody else. This is the path that I would have you on, and I'm glad that you've taken it. So yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, it was a very difficult thing to do. I resigned on my birthday. It was my gift back to myself on August the 8th. I resigned from the post office, and I haven't looked back since. I'm appreciative and thankful of all the blessings that come my way, of the smiles, like your gorgeous smile that I get from people, the thanks, the, you know, sometimes they can buy a picture, sometimes they can't, but they always have all this beautiful energy for me. And I'm so thankful for that. If I can, I created the artwork, and then shortly afterwards, I created a poem to go along with the artwork. And I think that it is as beautiful as the picture itself. May I?
Yes, please.
So I'm speaking to you. I am going to speak to you as if I am the king of the village and we are all gathered around in the village.
Ashe, ashe.
So I would tell my village. Yes, ma'am. Be mindful, my people, of what you do and what you say. A child was born in the village today. Be thoughtful, my people, for the things that she hears and all that she sees will pattern her ways and the life that she leads. Understand, my village, that the responsibility lies in each one of us that's seen through her eyes, for the inevitable fate of the entire nation begins with the raising of God's newest creation. It takes entire village to raise a child. and sometimes I use the pronoun of her, and sometimes I use the pronoun of him. It doesn't matter, but I raised three daughters, so I like to use the pronoun of her.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. I would love for you to talk a little bit more about what came first, the illustration or the advocacy for children?
I think I think that's a good question. That's a good question. I think a little of both. I guess because as a parent, and I was a single parent for a long time, that it was put in the, it was fertilizing the soul for the advocacy art. So I think in a sense the advocacy came first, but the art came, the art just was part of who I am. And as I began to create and began to get my artwork out there, it always seemed to have children in it. And different organizations were coming to me, the Child Welfare League of America, the National Safe Place Network, National Alternative Educators, different organizations were coming to me saying, George, we have a conference coming up. You know, could you create a piece of artwork for us? And so it lent itself towards children. And I can remember a lady asking me, what kind of artwork? What kind of artists are you? So artists like to say, I'm a portrait artist, I'm a landscape artist, maybe they'll talk about how they, I'm an abstract artist, I'm a sculpturist. And when people asked me, I wasn't really sure what to say. And it was actually a lady who had came to my display and looked at my artwork and she basically told me, George, a lot of your artwork advocates for kids. I was doing a lot of artwork for schools. I had a math picture, science, social studies, mental health. And so she basically told me that I was a child advocacy artist. And I said, you know what, you're right. That's the direction I seem to be leaning in. And I just kind of adopted it off of what she had told me, you know, and later come to find out that I'd like to say that I'm pretty much the only child advocacy artist in the country. I went to a gathering of all these artists that were in, you know, talking about what they do. And a young lady in her 20s came up to me and said, you know what? I think I want to be a child advocacy artist. And that felt so amazing. It's like, wow, somebody wants to do what I'm doing. And I think from that point on, it's just kind of followed me. I love it. The next conference I'll be.
Go ahead. The next conference.
The next conference that I'll be going to will be the Daniel Memorial Conference at the Rosen in Orlando. It's for foster kids. I'll go from there to Advancing School Mental Health. That's also going to be in Orlando in December. That one will be in December. So I basically sell my artwork through these conferences. They're attended sometimes by hundreds of people, sometimes thousands. And that's basically how I've always shown and sold my artwork.
Wow. So I'm curious, when you said that you were a single dad for some time, when were you a single dad, and are you still a single dad, or how old are your kids? Are they grown? Tell us more about the little people.
Yeah, at this point, all my children are grown. So my three daughters are grown. So my youngest just came to visit me a few days ago. We just put her on. She just jumped on a plane to go back home. But my oldest, Jazz, is 42. Then Mia is 35. And Joy is 26. So they are spread out. I single parented two of them. I have five grandkids, wow. I'm happy to say, and I spend a lot of time and energy with my grandkids. And this is post-pandemic. I was running around the country doing a lot of shows and staying very busy, but when the pandemic shut everything down, the one thing that I learned from that was such a terrible time, and so many of my friends lost people. I was fortunate enough to not lose anyone, but just to take a measure of, take from their experiences, it taught me that we have to spend as much time as we can with the people we love, because there's no guarantee that they're always going to be there. And my time with my grandkids was basically Zoom calls and FaceTime and Marco Polo, and which is all good. That's the technology of today, but there's nothing like being right there and helping them get ready for school in the morning and picking them up from here and there. And we complain about it, but we know we love it, you know. So, yeah. I spend a lot of time now with my grandkids, and I'm happy to be able to do that. And, three daughters and five grandkids.
So that is what makes your story even more tremendous, you know, that you are doing this journey as a single dad of girls, no less, because Lord knows I have five children, and the girls, I believe, are harder than the guys to raise. So I can only imagine, as a father, going through the adventure of raising girls is just tremendous. And
daughters,
to always be able to hold on to that faith and that acknowledgement that God is in control and that God will provide, I know that must have been a challenge for you at different points in the journey. So now tell us a little bit more about what do you feel is the message that you wanted to convey in that first illustration of it takes an entire village?
I believe you said of the it takes entire village piece.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So other than trying to be the artist that made it into center court, the message that I would give by it takes entire village to raise a child is that it definitely does. It always will. Moving forward, we think that I've talked to a lot of people. I know the village and I don't want the village raising my child. You don't understand the concept of the village. The village are the people that you allow to be your village. So just because that person lives next door to you doesn't necessarily mean that they are part of your village. So like you were saying earlier, nobody can do this on their own. As a single dad, there was no way I could do it on my own. I had sisters and cousins and many people that helped me that were part of my village, and that we have to understand and we have to decide who our village is. And if you write it down on paper, these are the people that make up my village. These are the people that I can rely on. These are the people that are important to my family and that can be there to help me and know who your village is. And sometimes you're fortunate enough that your village can be your church, your village can be aspects of your school, your village can be other parts of the community. If you're fortunate to have, write that down too, you know, but don't think that every single individual in eyeshot is part of your village. It's just too different these days, you know, where we can have a village and know how each person is. I lived in Los Angeles, and there's a whole lot of people in Los Angeles who you don't want to be part of your village, you know. So you determine the village, and then once you know who your village is, then you proceed from there. So yes, I think that's the main message. If you can look closely at the arms, there are female arms, there are male arms, there are older arms. My grandkids look at my hands and they say, "Poppy, you got all those veins in your hand." That's the older, that's the wisdom. That's what comes with time and age, and that's all part of the village. So
well, you know, you
profound message.
You brought up a very important point, which is that sometimes when we talk about it taking a village to raise a child, there's that knee-jerk reaction, like, "Oh no, I can't have anybody," you know. And we are in a point where we are afraid of each other. We're afraid of community. We're afraid of allowing people into our sphere. You know, we bought into this horrible, dysfunctional concept of the nuclear family. And now the nuclear family revolves around one person more so than anything else in the majority of our households, unfortunately. And we don't recognize that part of the reason why it takes a village is because we ourselves, even as adults, are the baby that need to be supported in order to support the baby, you know, in order to support our children. And I think that became more prevalent, a lesson in my life after I lost my daughter. And I can look back on that situation and I can now honestly say, perhaps I would not have lost her if I had allowed myself to do exactly what you said, which is to write down on paper, to identify and to draw people in to create that village that would help me. You know, I think it's a misnomer looking back when I say, yeah, I was a single mom, because as you said, it is impossible. And you just, you know, smoking something if you think that you can raise up a child by yourself as a single anything. You know, so.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you're exactly right about us needing to recognize the fact that I tell my daughter, you know, when you make decisions about your life, and sometimes you have to look at yourself like you're the child, you know, and if you were going to advise the child, what advice would, that's the advice you want to give to yourself, and that you have to seek help the same way anyone else seeks help, same way you would seek help out for your child. You need to seek that help out for yourself. It's very important. Yes, we're all part of the village. We all are children of the village. And so we have to help each other. We have to look for help. We have to ask for help. It is so important in order to make it. These are really tough times now. And I watch my daughters deal with my grandkids, and they have some obstacles and some challenges that we didn't have growing up. And this internet, which on one hand is amazing how helpful it can be, but on the other hand, it can be detrimental to our health if we're not careful and we don't watch how our kids access it. So yes, just be careful. We just, you know, we're out here, love one another. If there is a message in my artwork, a single message that everyone can take in, I hope that they see love one another, because that's pretty much the key to everything.
Wow. Well, you know, thank you so very much for allowing yourself to be a vessel to bring forth that message of love. It is so needed in our world today. And to have that acknowledgement that we are all children of the village. And most definitely, it takes a village. So thank you so very much. And ladies and gents, in the show notes will be a link to George's website, where I encourage you to go and visit and peruse all of his beautiful artwork, and to perhaps decide to make your home the home for one of his beautiful pieces of artwork. I cannot tell you how much you have definitely touched me today and inspired me with your message of hope and love. So thank you once again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Michelle. Thank you for having me. Thank you for your beautiful smile. It just makes me smile seeing your smile. It's so gorgeous, and I really appreciate you having me. This has been fun, and I am so happy, you know, to be a part of it.
So, ladies, until next time, peace and blessings.
Thank you for tuning in for this episode of Mommy Heal Thyself. If you like what we're doing here, please share, subscribe, like us, and leave a comment. Your feedback is very much appreciated.